welcome to a special edition of Daytime After Dark. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of Daytime After Dark on the Blog Talk Network. Tonight, we have a very special guest. I am so excited. Okay, I know that was three shows, but I'm very excited, people. You know him as Cruz on Santa Barbara and Roy DeLuco, the best FBI informant ever. We need to bring him back. You've seen him on Being Bold and Beautiful. He was rumored to come back last year on YNL. It never happened. I have to ask him why. And also, my favorite, L.A. Law. So, people, if you want to call in to 1-347-850-8721. And everyone, welcome A. Martinez.
Hey, hi, Carly.
Hi. Yes, first off, I have to ask you. It was rumored all of 2014 that you were going to go at Young and the Restless. And
you know, I was vaguely aware of those rumors, but I don't really know where they started, actually, like a lot of rumors. You know, you don't really know, you know, how they got generated, because I never actually was officially asked by anybody to, you know, to consider it. I know there was a character that seemed like it was in the mix that maybe would be somebody I could play. Maybe that's how it started.
Well, I was disappointed. When I found out there were rumors. Yeah, no, when we found out there were rumors you were going to YNL, people were happy. People was like, about time he gets back on the soap. So, yeah. I mean, you were on B&B. I loved you on B&B. But I loved you so much on LA Law. And then when you went to General Hospital, it was perfect. And we want you to go back. Do you think you would ever want to return going back to General Hospital?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always open to going back. I really love working in daytime. You know, I love the amount of time you get to spend with the characters and the amount of time that the show gets to spend with the audience. I think it's really special. And all depends on the writing and the circumstances, you know. I mean, right now I have a regular gig on a wonderful show on nighttime. It's actually on Netflix now, called Longmire. We're just about to start our fourth season doing that a week from today, actually. We're going to start in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And that show is really a wonderful show, but it only shoots for 4 months out of the year, so there's a lot of free time in between, obviously.
Well, yeah, and you were also on the NBC Night Shift too. You appeared on that in 2014.
Yeah.
So, you have been working steadily. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, it's been nice. I think I went through a period of time where it was kind of hard for me to get work, but then I got older, and I, you know, that they write for sort of a lot of, it's by category, and when you're younger, there's a lot of work, and then when you're older, there's work. But when you're in between being younger and older, there's not as much work. So once I actually got to the point where I could let my beard grow out and have some gray on my face, it seemed to help me get more work again. I just did an episode of NCIS, just finished that last week, actually, where, you know, I played a character who's a sort of a ruthless guy from South America who's at the edge of retirement, done a lot of bad things in his life. And I really do believe that I had grown out my beard, actually, while I was doing a play in Malibu that just ended a week ago. And I think actually having the beard helped me get the part on NCIS, because they always, these days, you know, you have a beard and it instantly kind of sets you up to be thought of as a bad guy. So that was helpful, I thought.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you took on NCIS LA too, because that's one of my favorites. You know,
yeah, it's
you
a
would
great
be
show.
Really, yeah, I mean, you would be really good on that. But back to General Hospital, because a lot of people want me to ask you about General Hospital in Santa Barbara. How do you feel knowing back in the 80s on Santa Barbara, you and Marcy Walker were like the top, one of the top super couples of all time? How did that feel? I mean, you guys were all crazy. I mean, not crazy, but you guys were out there, and you guys were one of the best.
Yeah, well, it felt great. And one of the things I feel really good about in my life is that we understood while it was going on that it was really special. A lot of times when I was younger, I used to kind of look back on things and go, wow, that was really a nice situation I was in. But when I was in it, I wasn't really aware of how special it was. And luckily, during Santa Barbara, we were aware of how wonderful it was that we found ourselves in that situation. In fact, I remember walking down the hallway to go on stage with her one day. You know, we'd just been rehearsing, and we felt really good about what we were going to go out on the stage and do. And I remember saying something to her along the lines of, you know, this is going to end someday, and we're going to miss it a lot, you know, because it's really magical. And she said, well, you know, let's not talk about something, you know, let's not talk about what we're going to lose. Let's not talk about, you know, when it's gone and stuff. And I said, well, yeah, I don't mean to like, you know, say anything to make us feel sad or anything. But, you know, it's on my mind that the fact that we get to walk these doors and actually do this work today is really, you know, it's a gift. It was a gift.
It was, and a lot of people with Santa Barbara are still not happy, you know, years later with the cancellation. I mean, I watched bits and pieces of Santa Barbara, but Santa Barbara was on at the same time as General Hospital. And so, you know, they could not pin one soap against the other, in my opinion. But
yeah,
they did. But with Santa Barbara, how did you guys feel with the cancellation? I know you left a little earlier to the cancellation, or did you stay the whole until it got canceled?
No, I left about 6 months before because I was offered a regular part on L.A. Law, and I had done a guest shot on L.A. Law a couple of years before that, playing a different character, playing a guy that actually was you know, executed in the gas chamber. And in fact, the actor who played the prosecuting attorney in that episode, I just was actually rehearsing the play Othello with him in the fall of this year. The great Peter Van Norden.
Became
a really, really good friend of mine, a wonderful, wonderful actor. But doing that L.A. Law had been one of the best experiences of my career. They were, I remember we went to the set the week before it was scheduled to shoot, when they were shooting another episode, and the actors who were, well, myself and Jimmy Smits and the head writer and one of his assistants sat around a little table and just did improvisation for a while, trying to find things, you know, ways into like illustrating the relationship. And then they would go upstairs and kind of write from the improv we did, and come back down and we'd do it again and do some more stuff, and they'd sort of polish it off of that and polish it. And we really built the characters on the set the week before, just talking about it, sitting around a table, which is nothing. I've never been in such a situation in my life before like that. And then when I actually went to do the show, they sent me a couple of magical things. They sent me a piece by Jean-Paul Sartre about the last night in the lives of three prisoners, I think they were in Turkey, who were about to be executed at dawn. And, you know, just as a way of starting to think about, you know, what the person who's going to face that might go through as he approaches it. And they also sent me a medical piece on the way cyanide actually attacks an organism, which totally informed the way I got to play that scene, because I had always imagined, like everybody else, that you know, if you are going to go into the gas chamber, you're going to be able to survive until you have to breathe. But
mm-hmm.
in truth, cyanide attacks you through your skin. So I was able to actually use that knowledge to form the point of view I took in the scene, which made it, you know, it made it really an unforgettable kind of scene. And, you know, I just thought, this is a great show. So when I got a chance to go do L.A. Law, I took it, even though leaving Santa Barbara was incredibly hard to do.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you, I mean, glad for the time on Santa Barbara, but when you came in L.A. Law, you made me so happy because I was like 10, 11, and I always begged my mom, I'm like, okay, can I just stay up for L.A. Law? Come on. And I would kind of be a lawyer for 15 minutes to give all the good reasons why I should be watching L.A. Law, and it always worked. And my favorite episode of L.A. Law, even though you were not in the scene, when the elevator, when that really witty lady who came and tried to get the whole department, she fell down the elevator. You remember that?
Yeah, I do actually remember that, yeah.
And it was like the best, but it was like one of the best scenes of L.A. Law ever, and if I had a TiVo, I might have rewound it a couple of times, but back then, you didn't. How was this working on it, you know, because they all use this book, you know, 13, 15 hours a day. How was it comparing to going from Santa Barbara to L.A. Law?
Well, it was hard because I've been on Santa Barbara doing that character for a long time, and I had a tremendous standing in the show. You know, I was afforded a lot of kind of leeway and respect, and I had gotten in the habit of, as we all did there, actually, of doing a lot of, you know, sort of adjusting the material if I was in situations where I felt that I couldn't really say the lines exactly as they were on the page and still play the same character that I'd played the day before. I mean, a lot of the writing was just superlative. It was, you know, as good as I think daytime has ever been. And so a lot of it was, you know, you just learned it and did it. But occasionally you'd feel the need to make some changes, and it was not a problem in my position or in any of our positions, really, in Santa Barbara, because we had established that as a precedent that the actors were going to shape the material if they got, you know, sufficiently motivated to do that. But then when you went to L.A. Law, they were very, very picky about you saying exactly what was written in the script, down to the grammar even, you know, observing the commas. And, you know, I think the writing certainly was worthy of such respect, but one of the hardest things about it was that a lot of the rewrites, and they were always rewrites, a lot of times they would arrive at your home fairly late at night, the day before you would work. I mean, it was not uncommon for you to get rewrites at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And
wow.
They'd have to show up at the crack of dawn and be ready to do them, you know, impeccably accurately. So that put a lot of pressure on the whole cast. And there was also a wonderful kind of convention that the show did where they did Steadicam shots where the camera person would go through the big room, the big bullpen, and just like go from desk to desk to desk, sort of
mm-hmm.
dropping into the conversations of various actors, characters, and you'd learn, like, you know, the kind of nuts and bolts of what the show was going to be about. But this shot would involve, you know, everyone in the show and a lot of times some guest actors as well. And there were no cuts in it, every single person had to do every single thing right or the thing had to be done again. And inevitably, you know, we'd have to do it again. And after you've done it a few times, you start to get pretty worried that, you know, you dare not be the reason they have to do it again, right? And sometimes we do that shot, you know, up to 20 times, and the level of pressure on everybody to be perfect for the sake of not letting anybody else down was pretty huge. You know, but, I mean, I look back on it with tremendous fondness because it was so well written. It was such a great show, and I loved that I got to be a part of it as I went along my journey, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you and Cole DeBusson and Jimmy Smith, you guys all had a good chemistry working together. And, you know, I've always said there should be an L.A. Law reunion or a movie. I mean, if they can bring Dallas back and all of that, why can they bring L.A. Law back for a movie? Because I think, you know, it needs to, you know. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, I really
do. I think it's worth doing.
When you got on General Hospital, once again, you did a bang-up job, but you and Jackie Zeman, who's been on the show a couple of times, had the chemistry. Oh, my gosh. You guys had the chemistry of all chemistry, I thought.
Yeah,
how
we had
was
a great
that
thing.
How, I mean, I loved your scene with Monique Bernard. I loved it. How was, you know, going there, you know, I mean, trying to take my sonny down. Okay, I wasn't happy with you for like a week or two. I was yelling at you. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you taking my, you know, because sonny's my guy. No matter what he does, I easily forgive him. But how was that to come and almost be a, you know, a good boy, a bad guy, good guy at the same time? Because people, you know, didn't always know if you were good or bad on that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, in the final analysis, that actually maybe became a bit of a problem. But I loved it. You know, that's an amazing cast, right? I mean, you walk in there and you're working with these guys who are just, you know, phenomenal. I mean, there were so many amazing actors on that show. I mean, you couldn't turn around without bumping into another amazing actor. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, that's what, you know, floats your boat. You know, you want to work with people that excite you. And, you know, when you're in the process of actually doing the work where you just feel like you're lit up by the quality of the work that's being done, you know, in your face, really. I just loved it. I mean, I thought, you know, I got, when I first came in, I mean, you know, Jackie and I did that stuff. I got to do some really nice stuff with Jeannie Francis, and I got to do wonderful stuff with Tony. And, you know, that those characters had such history together. And the thing that amazed me was, you know, after all the years he's been doing it and, you know, all the accolades, you know, all the tremendous amount of time he spent on top of the world doing that work. It's like, you know, he just would show up with a level of intensity to the work, you know, a level of intention that was so remarkable. It was like, you know, he treated so many of those days like, this is the most important day of my career, would be the sense you'd get of it. You know, just like the quality of the work was so high, the commitment to finding what mattered about it, so impeccable. I just thought, you know, this is one of, you know, it just is not an accident that a guy like that becomes iconic, right? He earned it through sheer, you know, work. I mean, he just refuses to not be great. So I love that, of course.
Yeah. What did you guys ever sit around and talk, especially you and Zini Francis, Anthony Geary, because they were on top the same time you and Marcy Walker was on top. You guys were, like, at the same time, the super couples of the 80s. Did you guys ever just sit around and say, oh, my gosh, I mean, both of you guys, all four of you guys were incredible, having Looking Lower and Cruz and Eden, you know?
Well, you know, I don't recall us talking about it from the point of view of, of the fact of being, you know, how we were publicly perceived. But we did a lot of talking about, you know, the process and the work and the way you you actually continue to hold your energy as you go through time, right? And, you know, the kind of strategies that people employ to continue to do their best even when, you know, time is trying to wear you down and kind of break you into a place of a sense of complacency. We talked a lot about that, about the strategy and stuff. And I think he talked a great deal about, you know, managing the demands of his popularity because, you know, I mean, even though I was part of a really prominent couple on a prominent show, it really isn't the same thing as what they did. I mean, when, you know, at their height, Luke and Laura, they did a 50 share where they literally, half of the eyeballs, you know, in the television audience were looking at them at the same time. I mean, that's pretty astounding. I mean, that's, you know, that's like Super Bowl kind of numbers or something. So it's like, you know, he basically, I know among the strategies that he has employed is that he found a place somewhere in Europe where the show does not exist, and so there's some place he can go and be actually, you know, just a person on the street without having to actually walk around every waking moment of his life being, you know, Luke Spencer.
I mean,
I know that was, yeah, and he's
that,
you know,
would be hard.
That would be, and it would be so hard, and he was really grateful that he'd founded that place, so that he had some place he could actually go and find shelter from it.
Did you keep in touch with any of the guys from General Hospital? Because all you guys were great working together. So do you keep in touch with them? And
well, for a while, I think Maurice invited me to his birthday party after I left, and I see Nancy. I sort of know her mainly through our mutual friend Eric Previn. You know, and I bumped into Sarah Brown a couple of times in other gigs, and you know, I saw Steve Burton at the you know, in the mall one day. You know, so you see people because, you know, we're all living in L.A. and just living our lives and stuff. But everybody is insanely busy. You know, I mean, I'm you know, whatever I'm into in the present moment is just eating an enormous amount of my time always. So spend a lot of time socializing.
Well, see, and that's kind of good. Would you ever want to go on, like, Chicago Fire, Law and Order, U.S., SVU, or one of those nighttime shows? Because I think you would do really good on that. Besides, I watch them every week. But I could see you on Chicago Fire or Chicago PD. So if you want me to start a campaign to get you on there, I would do it in a hurry because I will. No, I think the daytime people are not seeing people from the 80s, the 90s, and we are not liking it. And I think General Hospital messed up by not bringing you back for the 50th. That was one of my complaints, but no one listened to me on that. But we have some calls. Oh, by the way, did you assist your Super Bowl? Did you watch the Super Bowl this year?
I did watch it.
What did you think?
I thought it was amazing. I just was so wonderful to have the game be not decided until the very last play. I just thought that was magic. You know, it's always my prayer for that game that you'll see a good game, and I just can't imagine a better game than that in terms of it.
Okay, but who were you going for?
Well, you know, my daughter's boyfriend is from Seattle, and he was at the game. So, you know, I was just for the sake of, you know, family loyalty, I was hoping that Seattle would win. But, you know, I think that, I mean, I wasn't particularly crazy either way about it. I thought they were both wonderful, wonderful teams.
Okay, because the reason why I asked, I'm from Seattle, and the last minute of the game killed us. It was like we had it. It was so decided the last moment. I still cannot get over it, and I still cannot watch the last minute of the game. But let me bring on my co-host, Maggie. She's a big fan of you also.
Okay.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Maggie.
Good.
Good night. I'm very, very interested and very excited for you to be on the show tonight.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love Roy DeLuca. I'm sorry, that's my role. I love it.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. He was a cool guy.
Oh, he sure was. You can't do it, but I was hoping they could have Roy's brother come on the show. And be you.
And be me? Well, you know, I suppose it's possible, but, you know, I really, I got to tell you, this character that I'm getting to play right now on Longmire is one of the best characters of my career, and that's...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going back a lot of years now, so to be able to say that, you know, to actually get a guy at this point in the journey that's as great as Jacob Nighthorse is, that's like, you know, you can't even dare dream about stuff like that, and it actually has happened. He's... you know, I hold him after all these years as like, you know, in the top five characters that I've ever gotten to play. So I feel like I'm, you know, Christmas come early kind of thing, or late.
I love it. I love the show. I really do. And it seems like you bring it every time you're on. It's not like you're sleepwalking through a role. You're emotionally involved in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, certain characters, you know, really lend themselves to that, you know, to that kind of passionate approach to it, you know, and if anything, I think over the course of my career, one of the mistakes I've made is that sometimes I bring a kind of passionate approach to characters that would actually be better played, a little more chill, you know, but, you know, as you get older, you get better at seeing that stuff and not making the same mistakes you make when you're younger. So I'm hopeful I'm going to be making that mistake less often than I used to make it.
I think so. You have more experience under your belt.
Yeah,
It shows. It really does show. I mean, even comparison of my Roy DeLuca to Longmire, I mean, it's like a complete turnaround for, I mean, the acting value.
That's
intensity.
A good point.
I love it. Thank you very much for being back on my TV. I really appreciate it.
Cool. I appreciate it, too, let me tell you.
And what was the thing with Bode and the Beautiful, Maggie and I both went out? It felt like you were there one moment and gone.
Yes.
It felt like
you
were only there for a blink of an eye, which I was upset about, but and then you were gone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very disappointing. You know, it was like, you know, I mean, there were no promises made, obviously, and you could sort of tell that in the story that I came in, I was just there basically to serve Don. You know, it was like serve that character. I was just basically, you know, there to back him up in, you know, his like scheme of the moment and stuff. And you know, I mean, I knew that going in, but I think you always. Imagine that, you know, if you get onto the canvas, that maybe something will happen, right? And something will kind of pick up. That's what happened in One Life to Live. You know, I basically went on there as a 2 week guy,
also,
and, you know, 9 months, right? So, you know, and then the economy crashed, and you know the banks took their paycheck out of the whole country, and so everybody had to like, you know, duck and cover, and my character was like part of the damage and all that, but you know, I mean, you go in there thinking, well, maybe something will happen, and you know, in my history, luckily, more often than not, something has happened. But with Bold and Beautiful, it just didn't. So,
did you like? They can't have you. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like One Life to Live? Because it's, you know, we loved you on that too.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I mean, you know, I look at it now and I go, you know, the thing is, you know, I chose to play that guy, for instance, as, you know, speaking English as a second language and not being, you know, the smartest tool in the drawer, you know, like, I mean, I chose to play him pretty dark and bent, and, you know, it made a lot of sense, I think, given the stuff that he was doing at the beginning of his tenure there. But then later, when, you know, he's trying to function more as a romantic character in Robin's life, you know, some of that kind of baggage that he carried started to seem a little bit, you know, just, I mean, even me watching it, I sort of thought, you know, I'm tired of waiting for this guy to figure out how to finish this sentence. You know, it's like, I sort of, you know, I painted myself into a corner with the choices I made for him, I think. And, you know, I'm proud of it. And from the point of view that I think it was honest. I think it was honest to how he was originally perceived. And I think it worked really well early on in his tenure. And I loved working with those actors. Again, wonderful, wonderful group of actors. But, you know, it didn't have legs beyond its beyond how long it lasted.
You know, I mean, for you to be around
Robin,
this,
so.
Yeah, we both love Robin. For you to be around for like 30 years and you saw, you know, 14, 15 soaps, you know, and now it's down to four. What has you been thinking about? Were you kind of sad or thought, what's going on with, you know, Santa Barbara getting cancelled, AMC getting cancelled, One Life to Live getting cancelled, As the Returns, Guiding Light? What do you think when, you know, you see that this industry is down to four soaps?
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to see that. I mean, you know, you have a sense that you're in a club, right? It's a very special kind of work, and it's not the kind of work that everybody can do. So when you actually get into it and demonstrate that you actually can handle it, you know, you feel kind of good about yourself, and you feel a sense like you belong with a special group of people. And plus, you make a lot of friends, you know, even people you're not working with, but you just sort of meet them and you kind of have a sense of what they're going through and stuff. And, you know, you start to have a vested interest in the community. So it's sad when you see it go away like that. But, you know, I mean, it's a part of such a bigger picture, you know, the way the world is changing. And I think, you know, a lot of that, I mean, I choose to look at that as more positive than negative, although there are things about it that I wish were different. But, you know, I have children, and I really need for, you know, I guess to hold on to a sense of optimism about the way things are going to be for them. And for instance, you know, the technology has changed. I mean, I wrote and directed a movie in 2013. And, you know, when 30 years ago I could not have done that because I could not have afforded it. But now the technology is available to people who actually, can just imagine stuff and do it, you know, and there's places that you can go to get help and kind of make it actually come true. And, you know, even though the kind of industry that I came to the front in and loved so much has changed, some of the stuff that is growing up in the place of it is good too. So, you know, I try not to get too sad about it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, we have another.
We get so invested in our characters.
Hey, Maggie, we have another call too. I'm not going to put you on hold. Peggy, you on the air?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Peggy.
Hi.
Great show so far.
Cool.
Thank you.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Manhattan, Pennsylvania.
Sweet.
Yeah, nobody's ever heard of Lehighton, Pennsylvania.
Is it cold there right now?
Actually, it was in the 50s today.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was. It's a nice change.
I got a daughter living in
snow.
Ah, well, I got a daughter living in New York, so I have a vested interest in paying attention to letting winter get over with already. And
I'm only I'm only a 2-hour drive from the city.
Go Peggy.
No, go ahead, Carly.
No, I just want to see what you were going to say. Yeah, with the snow and everything.
It.
I just listening to the show, but by the time I'm on, all my questions have already been asked.
Oh my God, I'm on.
Oh no,
I've been talking too much. I answered your questions without even getting asked.
No, no, it's great.
Well, it's kind of long-winded, I think.
No, please talk.
I'm talking.
Well, I'll ask
you. I loved
Peggy,
all your roles.
Thank you. Have you watched Longmire? Have you been able to see that show yet?
I've watched some, but not a whole lot.
Mm.
I'm
well,
just getting
my character
back into TV
really,
time.
Yeah, I hear you. My character got introduced in the fifth episode, episode five
mm-hmm.
of the first season, and then he's gotten to do. He was supposed to be killed off by the end of the first year, but somehow he survived. And you know, I know that in this fourth season, I'm going to be appearing in at least half of the episodes, and I'm really stoked about that because I love him so much. Playing him is so fun. And you know, anytime I get a chance to make a noise about that show, I always do because you know it's my prayer that it'll last for a
mm-hmm.
while. And you know,
I'll be
sure to
tune in now.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical. It's actually a show that where people still kind of have faith in the future and stuff. It's really
mm-hmm.
pretty lovely. I really,
mm-hmm.
really love it. And the people that write it and run it are great folks. So I recommend it highly, obviously.
I'm sure Carly can get me up to speed.
Yeah.
Maybe
you know,
can.
Robin Wright,
yeah.
you know, is on that show,
yes.
House of Cards.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, she's like, one of the original Santa Barbara cast
mm-hmm.
members. I mean,
mm-hmm.
She's the one who played Kelly Capwell from day one, and she's so beautiful, mm-hmm. and she's so beautiful inside too. She's a really, really mm-hmm. amazing person. So I love the fact that you know I get to be on the same network as a show that where she's like one of the anchors now. That makes me feel really happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
It's got to be nice.
We
have
a
history connection.
Yeah,
we
have a to-do. Oh, we have another call. Oh, awesome.
Cool.
Hey, Peggy, I'm going to put you on hold for a sec.
Okay. Bye,
okay.
Peggy.
Bye.
707, you're on the air.
Oh, is this me?
Yeah, hey, man.
Yes.
Is this A. Martinez, Roy?
Yeah, who am I talking to, man?
Christopher Stewart, I'm one of your Facebook friends and stuff.
Oh, hi, Christopher.
Hi. I prefer to be called Chris usually, but, you know, it doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
much. How was it like to work with Joseph Bottoms in Santa Barbara? Like, he played Kirk Cranston, the evil villain who, like, you know, made Eden Capital marry him and stuff, basically.
Yeah. Working with him is great. I mean, I remember, you know, as a person, right, he's a member of that family. All his brothers are actors, and, you know, his big brother Timothy was a pretty much of a movie star for a while there. And, he always had a lot of stories about, you know, the family business and, you know, he and Tim and Sam and, you know, just it was really wonderful to actually get to talk to somebody who had such a wide-ranging kind of point of view about the industry. I remember one thing he told me, and I felt regretful about it for many, many years. He said, you know, a lot of business in our business, in show business, a lot of our business happens on golf courses. You know, people like go out to play golf and they like strike up conversation and make deals and like friendships that lead them to jobs and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I can't play golf at all. I mean, you know, I'm so far down the road, and it's the kind of sport where to do anything decent in it, you have to spend so many hundreds and hundreds of hours. So I always felt like, you know, kind of inadequate as a business guy in terms of, like, not being able to, like, get out there on the golf course with Joe Bottoms. Great guy, though. Mm. He started to act again, I think, too. I think he's come back into the game.
Maybe on short stuff and stuff. Like, maybe I'll ask you one more question about performing and go take a bath and stuff. Like,
sure.
Like,
sure.
It's my understanding that, no offense, that we're supposedly, according to the Wikipedia article about Sandberg, that your good friend Lee McCloskey was uncomfortable with the notorious Santa Barbara storyline where Ian Capel got raped because he was worried about the fear that women might have when they're visiting for a gynecologist and like, was he really that uncomfortable with it or not?
Well, I did hear that story. I'm not sure if I ever actually heard him tell it, but I know that story, and it seems, you know, it's a story that makes sense. I mean, it's like, it's got a certain kind of common sense to it, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if it were true. But, you know, the main thing I just, you know, remember about him is, you know, how great he was in the role. And actually, he was in the movie that I made in 2013, the one I actually wrote and directed. It's like a short version of a bigger script. And he was great in that, too. You know, he's really an amazing actor. He studied at Juilliard, and he can do things that a lot of actors can't do in terms of processing an amazing amount of information in a short amount of time. And he's become, over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, actually, one of my very best friends. So, you know, I think about him or you know, mm-hmm. contemplate his journey, it makes me happy. Lee McCloskey, great guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what was the name of your movie?
Later. Okay.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Yeah, later, man.
Thanks, Mr. Martinez. Like, I'm going to go now, okay? Bye-bye.
Good talking to you, man.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, what's the name of...
It's called movie. Before Your Eyes. And
Before Your Eyes.
We're just getting ready to actually ship it to people who helped make it happen. I would have actually gotten it out this weekend, to tell you the truth, but I got really, really sick, and I started running a fever, and I just I couldn't leave the house. I just got too wasted to actually go out and do the work of it. But the you know, it's going to be available in some kind of format in the very near future. And it's got a song in it that's really special that my son and I wrote together. And all of my family is in it, and a lot of my very dearest friends. So it was a labor of love, to say the least.
It just sounds like it. It sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean,
yeah, I think you guys will like it. I sure hope so, anyway. Yeah.
Oh, I have a Twitter question from Melody from Twitter.
Okay.
She wants to know, because she's too shy and calling, if Mosi Walker will ever guest star on Longmire.
Was this Melanie who asked this?
Yes.
Well, I want to say hi to Melanie, because I she's a Facebook friend of mine, and I really like her communicating with her on Facebook. And I know she asked me that question actually on Facebook today, and I was my thought is I sort of doubt it, because Marcy seems to have retired, and she seems very serious about it. I don't think it's like some fluke. You know, I think she's genuinely committed her life in another direction, and I don't really see her coming back to do something like that. I would sure love it if she would. I mean, what I would really love it would be if you know, we could do something that were more substantial than just an episode of a TV show together. If we could actually, you know, tell a whole story together. I think about it. You know, a lot, and I've been thinking about it a lot for a long time. It just seems
I mean, you guys have one of the greatest chemistries.
Mm-hmm.
When you were on GH, and people are going to probably throw eggs at me now, I always thought you and Jeannie Francis had this little chemistry, and I'm like, I wasn't going to break looking up or anything. People don't think that, but... saying that, but It would have been really interesting if they won with you and Laura on, you know, a one-night stand or something, because you guys had the chemistry. And, you know, I would love to see you guys working together again, because you guys had the chemistry.
Yeah, she's amazing. And somebody actually just showed me a scene from General Hospital. I'm not sure who, something might have actually been Chris who just called, but just posted a scene where basically it was early when Roy first showed back up on General Hospital, and he was working in the office of the bar, and she came in to kind of ask what was going on with Lucky, and he was sort of covering for Lucky, and you know, I just thought that the quality of the work was really wonderful. You know, she's amazing, and you know, but I mean, again, you know, everywhere you looked in that show, there was there were great actors, and you know, the possibility of doing stuff that was really, really fun and memorable was, you know, looking at you from every direction. I loved it so much. I just, you know, loved it.
Lynn Bishop. I never get to do questions for people. This is awesome. Lynn Bishop from Twitter. Please ask A what his favorite storyline was on Santa Barbara. Thank you.
I think my favorite story, I mean, it seems weird to say it really because, you know, it was so awful, but I thought the whole arc of storytelling that surrounded Eden's rape was just from the point of view, I mean, that's where Marcy won her Emmy. Mm-hmm. And just from the point of view of actually getting to see a great actor embark on a great, great arc of work, you know, that, you know, occasionally in the course of a career, you'll have a sense that you're really enjoying the privilege of being up close in the face of amazing work that, you know, is going to go out into the world and really move people. But even before all that happens, it's happening literally right in front of your face. I felt it making a movie with Zero Mostel when I was just starting off, you know, working with a genius who didn't even bother to kind of read the script. He just like decided to make up his whole character on the spot. And I mean, I felt like I was, you know, watching a great painter at the canvas. And then I felt multiple times with Marcy. I felt it in the movie Powwow Highway when I got to work with Gary Farmer. It was a buddy movie, and he and I played best friends. And that movie for Gary Farmer was a Powwow Highway, it's called. It's one of those things where you look at the movie and you look at the actor and you go, okay, that actor was born to play that part. And, you know, and the things he did were so magical. And I got to be the person literally, you know, staring him in the face while he was doing it. So, you know, you just feel really privileged. And that was the thing with Mars. So many of those days during that storyline where her character was attacked like that, so many of the things that she played to get Eden back to, like, some sense of equilibrium in her life again, you know. I just thought... She was so heroic, you know. She went down into a place in her own heart that where she holds all of her worst pain, and she just went in there and brought it out into the surface. You know, she did the work. She suffered the consequences of actually doing it that legitimately, and I just thought it was incredibly heroic. And always when I look back on the show, that to me stands out as the very, very best of what I got to do in it, just being, you know, being in that storyline with her. I mean, it was extraordinary.
Well, yeah, it really was from, you know, what my grandma told me all about it, because she was such a big, you know, fan of you guys. And when she heard I was having you on, she goes, how are you getting all these guys on your show? I'm like, I just ask grandma. That's all I do. And she goes, she's like, well, tell him he's really cute and still. I'm like, yeah. And I go, grandma, no, he's more cute than cute. He's one of the sexy guys. And People magazines have not done you justice by putting you on the cover. I still think so. And people also want to know, what was your favorite storyline on Zeno Hospital to do?
Well, that's tougher, you know. I felt like Roy sort of got lost in the shuffle. I mean, there was a point in time where he and Bobby were in their throes of their most success, where they were most tight, and that was the best of it. But the thing is, you know, Bob Guza had imagined Roy coming back onto that show, and literally a month after I came back, he left. So, you know, what happens in a case like that is, you know, a person has a vision, and, you know, you say yes to that person's vision, and then someone else comes in, and mind you, these are really wonderful writers and people of, you know, great spirit and conscience, but it wasn't their vision. And so they're inheriting, you know, someone else's kind of excitement, some excited idea that someone else had, and they're trying to make the best of it. And I think that I always felt that Roy suffered from having had the vision that brought him onto the canvas walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's harder for me to look back on that and have like a sense of this was the thing that I would take out of it as the best. The main thing I just remember is that certain of the relationships. You know, I loved the work I got to do with Jackie. I mean, that was like the heart of it. And I loved getting to work with Tony and Maurice and Steve. And I loved actually my time getting to talk to like John Ingalls, even though I didn't get to act with him very often.
Yes.
That was wonderful, and Constance was wonderful, and then eventually I got to do stuff with Christina, and for a brief time there was a sense that there might be something happening with Jensen Buchanan that could have been really cool, I thought. But
I thought they missed Del Mark on that too. I'm like, they did miss Del Mark on that.
I think the thing is that people don't, you can't predict it going in, and once you're inside of it, you realize that there are so many forces at play on the kind of process that people never are aware of, but they really change things, and it matters a lot, you know, what's going on behind the scenes, who is in a struggle to maintain their position, who is being undercut, who's going away, what actors decide they've had enough, somebody does something in a storyline that doesn't sit well with the audience, and the audience like decides to change their opinion of someone. It's like, it's so volatile. There are so many ways it can get sideways. And so, you know, you always go in with the best of intentions, but you never really know what's going to happen until you're in the midst of it. And at that point in time, it usually is impossible to control it. You just got to write it out, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, but if you ever get bored on the weekdays, you should tune in to Central Hospital right now, because the degree of work Anthony and Mo are both doing right now is off the charts, especially Anthony, because if you didn't hear, Luke has DID, and it's just crazy, and it's so good to watch, and that's why we think you need to come back, and maybe... You know, help Sunny out some way, because Sunny kind of needs help. Sunny and Duke kind of needs help, and the only guy I can think of is you.
Oh, bless your heart. Well,
and I know you have to go in a minute, and we would love to have you on again, when, you know, your movie is, you know, when people see the movie and,
okay,
you know, and we would like you back on here, you know, for your TV show to hear mm-hmm. more what's going to go down on the line of that.
Cool. Well, I'd love mm-hmm. to. It's been really fun to hang out with you guys. And
it really
thank
has.
Thank you so very much.
Yeah, and yep. I don't want you to be late for your appointment. So.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's like it's a big deal to go to that theater for me tonight. So. Thank you so much for having me on, and
yep.
and you know, you guys are great. You know, I love your heart for it all, and the fact that you're actually, you know, doing something about your love for it. It's really cool.
Thank you, and have a
thank
great
you
night.
Very much.
You're welcome, Megan. Yeah, thank
have
you.
Great
and
night.
You guys be well, and I'll talk to you next time we do it.
Please
okay,
go.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay, you guys, that was A. Martinez. He goes by A. Bone Martinez on Facebook, but he does
mm-hmm.
not have it. Oh, I forgot to ask him what his Twitter name was, Seeds. But that's okay. And we want to send out our little prayers to our little partner in crime, Corey, who has a migraine. So he's not feeling real tonight.
Oh, sorry.
So now you can see why I was texting you off the hook. Okay. And you guys, a couple of years ago, I went to the Smokespin Laws in Studio City for the General Hospital. Smokespin Laws City to be refilled into a fancy shopping center. Okay. They... You know, they took all, they remodeled it and spent so much money on it, and now the hotel looks like it might be going away. So, yes, so that is weird.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't lost the soaps tonight, today. What about you, Maggie?
My friend, he was on it. He's got a bone to pick with Jake, and he's wearing that sexy black leather jacket.
So was he nice to Jake?
He kind of told him what for, and not to get involved with Carly. And I kind of put him in his place. Mm-hmm.
Well, come on, you can't blame him. I can't. Because, number one, Sonny loves Carly, and... Well, if Jake knew that was really Carly, he will be going for Elizabeth or Sam in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So it was kind of cool, but the Dukes, they still want to kill Dukes.
Okay, I want to murder whoever. Whoever wants my Sonny and Dookie.
Perk.
Yeah, they are dead.
Mm-hmm.
They are dead, Dad.
And Julian told the girl, Vanetta, what's her real name of the show, that her order is to kill Julian. She doesn't understand how that's going to go down. Sorry, thank you. I couldn't think. That's how that's supposed to go down. And if she works for them, she's supposed to take orders and do what she's told. And she has a problem with hitting Joanne. Yeah, I won't tell you too much because you gotta watch it.
I know. I knew you were gonna say that.
Sorry.
How was my? Well, no. How was my?
Y&R?
Yeah. Thank you. I can't think.
Welcome. That's okay. Y&R, the people, their kids are all together, whatever, and. Ben says that Abby told her him the whole story. Well, it was the show. You know, people are told nice, and people are told to keep their mouth shut. They mean they're supposed to keep their mouth shut.
Well, come on. Come on. You can trust Ben. Ben's going to look out for them. They kind of need an older person helping them right now. Just in case one of them gets murdered or one of them gets injured again. Mm-hmm. He's a doctor for crap's sake.
Yeah. Adam almost lost at the engagement party when he's giving the toast to the bride and groom to be. He almost said who he really is. But Jack got him out of the room. That was exciting, I thought. Because every minute he thought it was going to come out of his mouth. What is the deal with Victor and Kelly?
I think they are looking together with that.
Got a lawyer. I don't know. So exactly what the lawyer says.
Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, I know you love Victor. I get it. But I kind of hope Victor paid for this one because what he's doing right now is playing with fire. I mean, really, if you think about it, he's playing with fire. You know, and taking down my Zach. Come on, leave Zach alone for once and for all. You said you guys were having a truce. Okay, did you not even know what a truce is, Victor Newman?
No, he needs a reminder. He just got that. That part, to be on there forever, back and forth, the competitors. I love that part. You know, Jack's got to take one up to him, back and forth. But, no Michael today.
Oh. Well, what about my husband?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. No Neil either. That gang is not in it at all. It's mostly at the house. Yeah, mostly at the coffee shop with the gang getting together, telling everybody to keep the trap shut. And they don't believe Ben when he says she told him. But he knew about the lipstick on the mirror and all that. So he had details, but they had to believe that he knew. But I think it's a good thing. I just don't want him to get hurt because I love Ben.
Oh, and people, Betty White will receive her Lifetime Entertainment Award at the Daytime Emmy in April. Which I think is really good.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. They should have done it well back.
Yeah, they should have done it years ago. You know why we didn't get as many calls as I think we did? Because all normal time is 7, not 6.
Right.
And how about Days of Our Life?
I didn't get this far yet.
Oh.
I had rewatched, whenever Sunny's on, I have to replay those scenes over and over again. That's me. That's why I watch it.
Yeah, Friday when I saw Stefano, I'm like, oh, he's scaring me.
No, we need him.
What?
We need him back.
But I know, we need him. But, you know, he's just scaring me like you do. Tomorrow morning, 11:30 p.m., 1:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. for Maggie, so it's not hard for Maggie. We will have Martha Madison on here. Hear this. Tomorrow's General Hospital preview. Is Duke all in with Sonny as we always think? Yeah, Duke will not do anything as Sonny, will he?
No way, no how. I think he's on the up and up with Sonny.
Okay. Tomorrow we will interview Martha Madison from Soapbox and the Days of Our Life when she played Bill. She was on General Hospital for a moment playing Liz. So
yeah, for a moment.
For a moment. That's why I said for a moment.
Mm-hmm. And I know our little Chris was on today either. And GH. They didn't show Spencer. They didn't even mention it. But that's
why?
What Brian, I know. That's what I said.
Why? I need my crusts.
I need Brian to go visit his nephew.
Yeah, it's about damn time. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't complain. Okay, I don't care about basketball. I really don't. We are going to miss 2 days of YNL and B&B this week. And I'm sick of all these repeats. We are missing NCIS LA tonight, a stupid repeat. We are missing Blue Bloods on Friday for the basketball. Chicago PD is a rerun. So, come on, what is going on?
I don't know, they're splitting up the shows. We'll have a week or two, and then we throw reruns last. I like the old days where you went straight through. You knew the season was ending when it was May, and you could recoup and get ready for September when they come back. But I guess this is the way of doing things nowadays. But you had a wonderful guest today. I loved the whole show.
Well, yes. I was afraid you were not.
Well, I got scared when my switch broke. I was going to call in, and I turned off the mic, and that delayed me because I was scared.
Okay, hear this. They are saying my Dr. Ben is perhaps working with Austin, or perhaps Austin made him so angry that he killed him when he found out he was having an affair with Victor's sister.
Yeah, right.
And break Victor. No, come on. Or perhaps they're not sister out and the wires are just having some fun with the views. Okay. You cannot make my Dr. Ben guilty, okay?
No way. No way.
Okay.
He cannot be guilty. I want him to marry the jury. I like them together.
I love them, love them, love them.
Mm-hmm.
Love them.
Mm-hmm.
Love them.
Me too.
You know, I'm going to be missing our guides tonight. Isn't it too quiet? Our guides and I'm on.
Much quieter. I don't know.
Grady is resting his voice tonight, I think. He had a job this afternoon, he did. And Corey got sick. And so, you know, it's just us.
Well, we got the main male blood going when we had it here earlier.
But no, a really, really, really good, you know, it was one of the best interviews. And this, people, I did not flirt. I could have flirted, but I did not flirt. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Now, if it was someone else, or if it was Sunny, or whatever, I'll bet so off for my flirting. So, do we have any other news?
Right, Luca was on tonight.
Thank you very much
for getting him.
Of course.
What's Wednesday? Oh, no, Wednesday had changed.
Oh, yeah, Wednesday, Mary Beth Evans will come when she can. She has to work on Wednesday, so we won't have a Wednesday show, but then, but we will have a show tomorrow, and then we will have a show on Friday. So, yeah, we are busy this week.
That was cool tonight with the Twitter questions. I never heard those before.
Oh, I know, because I was mowed, and I said to someone, I tweeted, any questions for A, and I got two. So I think I'm going to try that more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might
like
get
it.
Some hiss. We
mm-hmm.
might get, you know, now that it's getting dark early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, but, so did you, what was your favorite soap of the day so far?
Do you really want to ask?
Yes.
What is my answer?
It's always
Sunny Monday.
Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
So
Sunny
it would
Monday.
Be Z8.
Yes, it would.
Because you are in love with Sunny.
Yes, very much so.
Hey!
Well,
we didn't have any arguments on Daytime After Dark tonight. Wow. Sorry.
Nate was on too today. Anna was
what?
Talking to Nate. Anna was talking to
Ooh.
Nathan. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I like Nathan.
He thinks that she's going after with because of Duke, that she's being blindsided by it. She's not protecting their CI, Jordan. And she is telling me that she is really going after Duke, and that's the reason why she's putting Jordan
You know what?
Don't
go after your ex-boyfriend, Anna. How low can you go?
Yeah. That ship has sailed. Forget it, you know?
You know, I mean, come on. People thought you killed,
I did.
The freak, yes. So,
yeah.
you're not perfect. You know, Margot tried to kill Faison. So,
mm-hmm.
ooh. Okay, you guys, get a free ice cream cone or Italian icy this week. Dairy Queen is giving free ice cream cone to all customers Monday, March 16th, then on Friday, March 20th.
Hmm.
Do you have Dairy Queen now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dairy Queen.
Okay, well, tell my brother to bring you home one or two.
Mm.
Or three. Oh, we have a caller. Yay. Hey, Susan.
Hi.
There you are, Susan. Hi.
No,
hi.
We have a 10-minute block on us, so, 15 minutes, so.
Okay.
So
yeah,
we need
I was
you.
Already late.
So, what did you eat for dinner?
Flour tortillas, but I fried them.
Yum!
So kind of like the chalupa that, Taco Bell.
Mhm. Mm. Can you what?
Yeah, they're good.
Okay, we will be viable to have it. Because it really sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
It really does sound good. And you missed a wonderful interview with A. Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really good. It was so awesome.
It was so awesome.
I asked him. Yep, I asked him about. Did you hear my football questions?
Yeah.
My football.
I knew where you were going.
Yes, you. I mean, no. The Seahawks game is still bothering me, people. So I had to ask him about the last play of the game because it's still bugging me. Have you watched the new hospital today, Susan?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Have you watched
the
new hospital?
Yeah. since I've been really busy, I'm like a few days behind. Mm. Yeah, no, it sounds.
Okay,
I think the last episode I seen was with Lucas and Brad, I think.
Oh,
it's not on
your
last
husband.
Week.
You mean your husband?
Yeah, that's it.
Ryan Collins, just please, marry Susan. Well, yeah. Oh, did you? Oh, you missed my announcement. Well, a couple of years ago, they had General Hospital Fan Club Weekend at this hotel that I went to. Called what was it? Oh, it was called. The Sportsman Laws in Studio City, well, they are putting that into a shopping center. So, yes.
Oh.
So you are saying next year you want to go to Fan Club Weekend?
Yeah.
Well,
I have money then.
Well, I have a great idea how you can get some money.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Bank.
Well,
we're at a stagecoach.
Yeah,
Rosberg
well,
a stagecoach.
Oh, and tomorrow, remember, Martha Madison will be here on here at 11:30. Wait, okay, what time is it right now for you, Susan?
It's 7.
Oh,
like
shit,
15.
That's why I confused you. Okay, we are on the same time now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because you said it's 7 o'clock, so I thought I have enough time to eat before.
No,
it
I forgot. I forgot Seattle and Phoenix are back on the same time.
So tomorrow at
11:30
then?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Tomorrow will be 11:30. And have you guys noticed on YNL, even though Susan doesn't watch YNL, did you guys notice that Zio wasn't at her son Billy's party?
Where's the mother?
Yeah. Thank you. Didn't you just notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That
I
was. And oh. And when you file income taxes, be safe because there's a lot of crazy people out there. And this week we will know about the file on Z8. And I think they are going to finally blame Cameron.
That's listed for Thursday on the guide.
Yeah, so what do you guys think about blaming Cameron?
I did.
No, Susan,
I
what did you?
Nicholas's fault. Because he shouldn't have the shaving brushes and candles for a children's party.
Well, true, but
yeah.
What did you guys, Susan, what did you think? Because I wouldn't mind seeing little Cameron playing because I love Spencer. And it's now being revealed that Rebecca Bundling character is going to be Jake's wife that Rick pays off. Now, okay, yes.
Wife?
Wife.
What are you doing?
His pretend wife.
Yeah, I heard that.
Rick.
Yes, but I'm not happy about it because it's, it's not good.
That's never going to come out that you cheat.
And, Maggie, did you eat dinner yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah, me either.
No. I haven't tried.
You're bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to eat on regular times. I'm diabetic. Or I end up getting my blood we get low.
Well, No, just remember tomorrow, people cannot miss our other interview because
mm-hmm.
I'll tomorrow's interview will be fun. It will be really, 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 really fun. And then Friday we will have so, and I don't know the title of our show for Friday yet because I haven't figured out the name.
Okay.
How about Sex with Friday? Sunny now? Oh, Sex with Brian and Sunny for a title. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with really good, and I hope Corey feels better because I know migraines are not fun at all. And yeah, they're not fun. So, Susan, did you get everything taken care of?
No. I was there close to 2 hours just standing around looking stupid. They only got up to number 44, and at the courthouse, you had to put coins in the meter. So if, in 2 hours, they can tow your car. So,
oh, God.
So I had to leave. So I had to go back, like, when I figure I'll go Wednesday morning, right when it opens, and hopefully it's not as long. So I
didn't
get it done
yet. Bring a book. You know, I mean, if you bring a book, then it won't seem so boring.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap things up so I can go eat, and we have to save our voice for tomorrow. And Megan, no yelling at the Megan, no yelling at the TV tonight.
No, oh no, that's tonight.
No,
I
because we have. That's
for
okay. You have my permission on. But right now, my voice, can you hear my voice, see? So we all need
great,
a rest of voice for Tuesday, tomorrow. And Susan, we hope you call in because tomorrow's show is going to be really good, too.
Okay.
Okay, have a night. Have a good night, you guys. Thanks again for A. Martinez calling in. Night, guys.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Night. Bye, baby.
Bye.
Bye.